You guys are pros. The best. I'm sure you can make it out of the casino.
Well, is this where I'm supposed to say, what is all this about? And he says, shut up, I asked the questions.
Yeah.
We've done bad things, Ray. I've asked you to fix things that should never have been fixed.
It was what it was. I dealt with Alice.
Well, what's the matter with her today?
Look, Mother, I want to go to work in 1 hour. We are the pros from Dover.
I believe that you had a tux that's 30 years old.
It's older than that. Ross was actually conceived right near this tuxedo.
Oh!
Elliot Gould is an American actor whose work has spanned and maybe helped define a few decades of acting. He worked in a movie with Ray Milland and Ginger Rogers in 1964, which, man, his work was part of the 1970s American film renaissance. He helped shape director Robert Altman's style when he starred in MASH, California Split, The Long Goodbye, a role which also redefined the American hero Philip Marlowe. He's a member of the prestigious Five Timers Club of guest hosts at SNL, which, may I just say, I bow to you just for that.
Thank you.
Continues to work in movies and TV. He was Monica and Ross's father, Jack Geller on Friends. He was nominated for an Oscar for his role in Ocean's 11.
He's currently Bob Carroll dead now. It's not
I thought you got it for that one too.
Just
Bob Carroll. I'm giving you an extra Oscar.
No, I don't want it.
All right, you don't get it. He's currently on TV and show. Why don't you want it?
I didn't earn it.
Oh, you had three different roles. That I thought you got. What award did you get for that, for the character in Ocean's 11?
They paid me handsome.
Well, that's enough. All right. Sorry. Bad fact on my part. My apologies.
Okay.
I have a question for you. But he's in town to help the Olympia Film Society raise money for the digital conversion of Olympia's Capitol Theater. I listened to a number of interviews. You talked about the importance of parenting, importance of fatherhood. So tell me something. What kind of fake father, do you think you were to Ross and Monica?
Terrible. I was terrible, just like I was at the beginning of with my children. But I didn't give up, you know, and I thoroughly believe in responsibility and the responsibility of not giving up. Arthur Lawrence, who was one of my first directors, he wrote West Side Story and he wrote Gypsy and he wrote The Way We Were, said to me in his early 90s, how have you stayed so good? After everything you've been through, how could you still be so good? And I said, Arthur, I don't think that way, but thank you for a compliment. And my response to your question is simply, my mother never gave up. I have no choice but to be the way I am.
May I say that I thought I was going to ask you a comic question, and you took it and made it gave me a serious answer?
Well, people sometimes say to me now, are you serious? And I can say, I don't have to be so serious any longer. I know I'm honest, and it's taken me forever to get back here.
When you were working on Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, that was all about being honest and self-actualizing. It was part of the Esalen movement at the time, Esalen Institute. Was that part of what was... Were you involved in that? That kind of thinking? Is that why you're involving?
Well, I went to Esalen. Barbara, my first wife, and I went there, and we could take a bath there. But even in the movie, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, I think one of the things, and you're putting light on it now, is people who are striving to be honest don't necessarily know how to be honest.
Well, that's what the whole movie was about, wasn't it?
Well, but I can see it. It's so stimulating to me, as I see Edward R. Murrow's picture up there in your corner, you know, that it's possible if we don't give up, don't settle for something less than our ideals and working toward them, you know.
You were friends with Groucho Marx?
I was. He used to let me shave him.
How did that come about?
David Steinberg introduced us, and then I was friendly with a woman who was his minder, Erin Fleming. And so Groucho gave me the greatest review I'll ever get. I changed a light bulb over his bed, and he said to me, that's the best acting I've ever seen you do. I'll never get a better review than that. He was fabulous.
Did you guys talk about acting?
Oh,
and performance?
We would talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and he would have dinner parties, thanks to Erin, and I met Mae West there. I had her sign my driver's license, but the Groucho would sit and play the guitar. He looked like Pablo Casals. He was a beautiful artist.
Is that right?
Mm.
You know, you listened to radio growing up, yes?
I do. I still do.
But during the 40s and 50s, were you listening to the old-time radio?
I do. I did. The Lone Ranger, Superman, Captain Midnight, Jack Benny. on Saturday nights was a big hour radio show with Hollywood stars. I loved the radio.
I was thinking about the acting style that was going on in the 40s and 50s, because it seemed like there was a groping and a success in getting towards a natural way of talking on the radio. Didn't start that way. Did you hear some of that change? Or do you think I'm making it up?
No, I don't think you're making anything up, actually. And, you know, but a change, I believe in change. I've done some books on tape. I think I've arguably recorded all of Raymond Chandler's work, thanks to Robert Altman and The Long Goodbye. And, you know, how people talk and what talk is, because it's also, I feel everything is based on feelings.
I listened to your Long Goodbye recording.
It was the first I did. I wasn't crazy about it, but Graham Greene, Lord Graham Greene, the great writer, was the administrator to Raymond Chandler's estate, and he sent a telegram at the time to say that he approved. He thought I did a good job.
Well, that's nice. What did you? Were you just uncertain about it? What? Why didn't you like it at first?
Oh, well, I don't know. I either could hear the work in it. Confidence is an interesting thing, and you know, so, and I wouldn't take anything for granted. There's one that I've done, because I still want to make the sequel to The Long Goodbye, which would be based on a Chandler short novel called The Curtain, which I had recorded, and I'd spoken with Bob Altman about it, and it's now, the concept is it's always now, and the character is much older than he ever was, Philip Marlowe. And I'd done some work with the Chandler estate, and Alan Rudolph, who lives up here,
yeah,
written a first draft for me, and I won't give up. I can't find, just like you're doing a drive, you know, a hedgehog or something to get the finances or money to make it. But I'm so grateful and eternally appreciative for the opportunity that Bob Altman gave me to play Philip Marlowe in his picture.
You just said something. You said you weren't sure if you could hear the work in it. And is that something, as an actor, that you're striving for, to not be sounding like you're working?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. To be seamless, not to see the work. And I was saying outside, because you mentioned The Confession, the first film that I appeared in, that was called The Confession, and now on late night television, it's called Quick, Let's Get Married. It was directed by William Dieterle, who had come to America with Max Reinhardt, and they collaborated on Midsummer Night's Dream. And Charles Laughton did The Hunchback of Notre Dame, yeah, for Dieterle, and he was the precursor to Marlon Brando.
Laughton?
As a sensory genius. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because he's so big on the screen. He's so, big.
Well, if you've seen most of his work, he's just the greatest.
Do you do different work? Does the TV ask for a different kind of acting than a movie?
Yes.
What is the difference?
The difference isn't necessarily the size of the screen, but the amount of time that production has to produce itself. Because a film or TV, it's about time management. Just like you in the show, you've got a certain amount of time.
Yeah, look, we're counting down. It's all the same thing, huh?
So sorry, it's all the same thing, yeah.
You said, you talked to somebody, you said you got to be friends with John Wooden, the coach at the...
Wooden,
yeah, at the UCLA Bruins.
Yeah.
He said, the most important word in the English language is love, and the second was balance. What's the balance?
Well, I was a dancer, and there was a position called...
You were a dancer?
Yeah.
That's how you started?
Yeah, I was a chorus boy. But I started out in song and dance. I was a tap dancer, very good tap dancer, almost a classical tap dancer.
Not, is that
just
right?
Just a hoofer, yeah. And so therefore balance represents attitude, and attitude is almost everything.
It's hard to have longevity in Hollywood, it seems. Is that what has helped to keep you working and happy, that balance?
Well, I mean, but it's the family. It's what one's priorities are. You know, I mean, one of the reasons I'm up here is not just to help the Olympia Film Festival and Film Society, but the nature up here is so fabulous to have a reason to. I mean, I could, I'm not always, but right on the edge of even weeping in terms of being alive. I said to an audience on television earlier today that when my daughter Molly was four years old, she said to me, "It doesn't matter how long you live, so long as you know you're living, right, Dad?"
She was four.
At 4 years old, yeah. Yeah.
Have you been to the San Juans, by the way?
I went to a film festival in Port Townsend that's near that. And yeah. I have friends who are actually the family of Irvin Kershner, who's a wonderful artist and filmmaker, live in Lummi Island or something.
Yeah.
And I love it up here. I like it a lot.
Get somebody to take you on a ferry ride up into the San Juans and back. You'll love it.
Okay.
You'll love it.
Okay.
Mr. Gould, thank you. I had like a thousand more questions, but there we are. There's our 10 minutes of interaction.
Thanks so much for the time.
I thank you for the time. Let me just Olympia's Capitol Theater, owned by the Olympia Film Society, home of their film festival. They're adding some digital cinema equipment, so they're having a feast, a cocktail hour, a dinner, and a silent auction. Elliot Gould's going to be there.
Goldberg's, right?
Yeah, at Goldberg's Famous Deli in Bellevue.
On Saturday, we're screening MASH. I'm going to watch it because each time I see it, I see something that I hadn't seen before. That's Altman's work. There's something I haven't seen before in the picture, which is amazing. And then we'll do a Q&A with me there. And this has been a wonderful opportunity, and I still got more work to do.
Yeah. I saw you sort of shake your head when I said help shape Altman's vision. Don't you guys think that you were working together to create this style?
I couldn't take any credit for it. I have this, I don't distort, I remember. And when you said that, it didn't shake my head negatively. It really touched me because Altman said two things. Why can't you be like somebody else? And I threw my lunch up before I ate it. I said, I came from the theater. I understand precision and repetition. From now on, I won't stick my neck out for you. Tell me what you want, and that's what you'll get. And Bob said to me, I think I made a mistake. I said, I think so. He said, I apologize. I said, I accept. And then he said to me at another scene, because he would give us thoughts and ideas, just like the beginning of The Long Goodbye was all Robert Altman with the cat and the food. He said, listen to this. This is the theme of the picture. You cannot lie to a cat. You can't fool nature. And so he said to me, you know, I can't keep my eyes off of you in this scene. It's distracting. I said, then don't look at me. Look at me in the context of what you're shooting. I'm always in character. And then if you don't like what I've done, tell me and I'll make an adjustment.
See, you guys are working. All right, here, you go.
Elliot Gould, thank you so much for joining us.
We didn't make you pitch, but are.
Oh, I'll pitch. You want me to stay and pitch?
Here, 30 seconds.
Yes, go. You're welcome.
Why
to
do
hang
you support
out.
Public radio?
Yes.
What's your station?
KCRW. I support public radio like I support nature. It's honest. It's true. It's everything we work for in relation to what the foundation is of what America is supposed to be. I said to Alfred Hitchcock, I said, you know, you're just like the American to me is that which is even the infant of the rest of the world. And to remain pure and true and honest, that's what we're working for.
That's the best pitch I've ever heard.
Great.
There it is. We've got just a few seconds left. Thank you so much for that. We have just a few seconds left. So if you also believe that public radio is honest and true, now is the time to call to support it. 206-543-9595 or 866-677-5869 or KUOW.org.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mr.
That was great. All right. Yes, sir. And I was just going to say, Marty Reamer and Jody Brother of KJR are going to be hosting you guys tonight or tomorrow night at Goldberg's in Bellevue. 206-543-9595, 1-866-677-5869, KUOW-FM, Seattle, KUOW Tumwater, KQOW Bellingham, Digital HD Services. Honest and true, my friends. Join us.